الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، رب السماوات والأرضين، والعاقبة للمتقين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, the topic that was allocated to me today is to do with the family system. I think the title was siblings squabbles or argumentation. But what I want to do is, I don't want to just restrict myself to the problems and arguments and quarrels and disputes and friction that take place between brothers and sisters and siblings. I want to look at this topic in a more general sense. The friction, the argumentation we have, problems, quarrels, disputes within family members. And I want to look at the root causes for these problems that occur within our families. And what are the solutions? There are certain causes, certain reasons, and there are solutions given to us, prescribed to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His blessed Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Arabs have a proverb where they say, Al-aqarib kal-aqarib. Al-aqarib kal-aqarib. Those of you who know Arabic, Al-aqarib, your relatives are like scorpions. Meaning they always want to bite you. They always want to sting you. They're always there waiting to just attack on you. And I'm sure it's not always like that. But the reason why they said this proverb is because of the friction and argumentation and disputes people see within family members. And we see in the Quran and Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Quran and Sunnah you find great emphasis, great ta'keed and emphasis placed on maintaining kinship, maintaining family ties, maintaining the ties and the bond of kinship. Many, many verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places great emphasis on this. And likewise, His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have been ordered, commanded on many occasions to fulfill the rights of our relatives, fulfill the rights of the spouse, fulfill the rights of the husband, the wife, the father, the mother, parents, children, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. So much emphasis given. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim rahimahullah narrates from the companion Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْخَلْقِ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created His creation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was creating the creation, He created His creation. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرَغَ مِنْهُ. When He finished creating His creation, when He created everything that He wanted to create, قَامَتِ الرَّحِمِ. Rahim, which is this bond, this tie, this kinship. Kinship stood up and said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you might think, how can kinship stand up and speak and converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The reality of this, in truth, is known only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the power and qudra and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kinship stood up. Qamati rahim. It stood up. Allah gave it the ability to actually speak, and it spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conversed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it said, هَذَا مَقَامُ الْعَائِذِ بِكَ مِنَ الْقَطِيعَةِ. O Allah, O my Creator, You created me. هَذَا مَقَامُ الْعَائِذِ بِكَ مِنَ الْقَطِيعَةِ. At this point, at this junction, I actually want to seek Your protection and Your refuge. From what? from being neglected, from being cut off. I am seeking your protection, O Allah, and refuge in you from people violating my right. This is the Rahim that is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded and replied and said, Na'am, of course, yes, I have accepted your request and your dua. And then Allah spoke and conversed with Rahim, with this kinship, and said to it, that أَمَا تَضَيْنَ أَنْ أَصِلَ مَنْ وَصَلَكَ وَأَقْطَعْ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. Are you not happy? Are you not content with this fact that I shall أَصِلُ مَنْ وَصَلَكَ, I shall maintain the one who maintains you, وَأَقْطَعُ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ, and I will cut off the one who cut off you. I will violate the rights of that individual, that human being who violates your rights. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rahim said, Bala, yes, O Allah, O my Lord, I am happy with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bidhalika lak, you have it. Your prayer, your request is accepted. And after this, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the companions, and he said, Iqra'u in shi'tum, recite if you want from the Qur'an. فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَمَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. This is a very strong verse. If you cause destruction in the earth, فساد في الأرض, وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَمَكُمْ, and you break family ties, you break the bond of kinship, this is what we call قَطِيَةُ الرَّحِمْ. We have صِلَةُ الرَّحِمْ, maintaining family ties. And قَطِيَةُ الرَّحِمْ is breaking and cutting off, neglecting this family tie and this kinship of, and this bond and this relationship. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. These are the people whom Allah has cursed. La'na of Allah on those people who break and do not maintain family ties. Na'na means being deprived from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these people are the ones, فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Allah has made them blind and deaf. And their hearts are blind as well. Yesterday I was talking about in the session, for those who may be here, about the nikah and the khutbah, the sermon that is given at the time of nikah. There are three verses, and I recited all three verses and I did translate them. One of the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are accountable for everything you do in the akhirah. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ. Fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights. You are always, we are always asking one another, by Allah, give me my right. The father is asking the son, by Allah, give me my right. تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. اتَّقُوا وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Many ulama say this is connected to اتَّقُوا. And also fear, أَرْحَامِ. أَرْحَامِ is the plural of rahim. Fear this kinship, this tie. Fear neglecting the kinship and the bond that you have with your relatives. This is such an important verse which Allah has mentioned. So much emphasis given in the Quran. And the reason for this great emphasis and this stress being laid on maintaining family ties, the reason behind this is simple. That if families live in peace, if they live in harmony, if there's peace amongst themselves, there is no friction, dispute and argumentation and quarrels, if they are living as one and they are united, their hearts are one, then that results in everybody being at peace. There's peace, there's tranquility, there's paradise at home. And families being united and being together contributes to the good, healthy well-being of a society. You see, society is based on families. When families are strong, when they are united, when they are one, then that helps the whole community, the whole society being one. It's a basis of a sound society. And likewise, if there's friction and there are problems within families, then what happens? The whole society becomes corrupt and we have problems. And this is one of the actual reasons why many Muslims are disunited. And in one hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually, he mentions that there's great reward in making peace between Muslims, especially between family members. There's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بأفضل من درجة الصيام والصلاة والصدقة. Shall I not inform you of something that is even more virtuous? Something that is more virtuous and has a higher status and maqam and rank than fasting, prayer and giving in charity. Sadaqah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times would do this with the Sahaba. He would ask, shall I not inform you of something? Reason being is that it makes you anticipate and you know, he wanted to draw the attention towards him. So many times, shall I not tell you about this? Shall I not inform you? And they would say, Bala, Ya Rasulullah. Why not, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said, shall I not inform you something that is more virtuous than prayer? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions, they knew the importance, the significance, the relevance of salah. And they knew the importance and the significance of fasting. And they knew the importance of giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were quite intrigued. Something that is more important and more virtuous than any of all of these things. So they said, why not, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please do inform us. He said, Islahu dhatil bayn. Islahu dhatil bayn. Making peace between people who are at war. Islahu dhatil bayn. Between people who have friction amongst themselves. Making peace, reconciling between people. This is actually more virtuous. But one point to remember here, it does not mean that, okay, today, from today, somebody says, you know what, I'm not going to perform my salah anymore. I'm just going to go every day, dhuhr time, go make peace between people. I have so many friends who are fighting and quarreling. That's the salah is forgiven. No. What it means here is that we need to understand Islam in a collective way. You don't just pick up one hadith and you just take that hadith. We understand Islam collectively from all the verses of the Quran and from all the hadith and the sayings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means here that making peace between people is more virtuous than many, many raka'at of nafil, voluntary prayer. A person, there's an individual who spends all his night in qiyamul layl, salatul tahajjud, worshipping Allah. There's another individual who voluntary fast. He keeps on fasting, observing voluntary fast. Another individual is giving a lot of money in charity, sadaqah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's one individual who sees that there are two Muslims, there are two people who do not speak to one another. There are two brothers who don't speak to one another, who are such that when their paths meet, they both turn away. لا يهجر أحدكم أخاه فوق ثلاث فمن هجر أخاه فوق ثلاث فما تدخل النار. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that one of you should not desert your fellow Muslim brother for more than 3 days, 3 nights. And anybody who does that and dies in that state, فما تدخل النار, he goes directly into the fire of hell, unless Allah forgives him. People don't talk to one another, and these are not people who are relatives, blood brothers, brothers and sisters. Father does not speak to a son. It's such a big crime. We think Islam, some of us, it's just about dressing like a Muslim, or I've just performed my salah and zakat and hajj and that's about it. Sheikh Yahya was talking about Surah Al-Hujurat, the commentary of Surah Al-Hujurat. Verses filled with rules and etiquettes and laws of how to live as a human being. We need to be human beings before we be Muslims. Seriously, we need to be human beings. We've forgotten how to even be human beings today. This hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, make peace between people. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hardly missed his salah with jama'ah in congregation. He used to always perform his salah in the masjid. But there was one occasion, out of just one or two occasions, but on one occasion he actually came late. And the reason being is because he was informed that there was a particular tribe or an area where there was a conflict. And he went there to sort out their problems. And he was delayed, and when he came, the salah was already done. And another companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu led the Muslims in prayer. That's how important it is to make peace between people. And in this hadith he says, Islahu dhatil bayn. And then he said, وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنَ الْحَالِقَةِ, causing friction. I mean, we are ordered and encouraged to make peace, but there are some amongst us who have nothing better to do than actually create friction. There are people who are at ease, there's peace, but they're just always tail-bearing. One of the major sins that a person can ever commit لا يدخل الجنة قطات. The hadith says a tale bearer, the one relates information from here to here and from there to here, goes with a different face to one individual, with a different face to another individual. You go to the mother-in-law, you know the oldest problem in the world, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Go to the mother-in-law, yeah, your daughter-in-law is like this, she's like that, you know, you need to be more strong with her and you need to tell her where to go. And you go to the daughter-in-law, your mother-in-law, she's backwards, she doesn't understand. Two-faced person. وَتَجِدُونَ شَرَّ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ذَا الْوَجْهَيْنِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the worst of people you can find on the day of judgment will be a person who is two-faced. A major sin, being two-faced. وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ الْحَالِقَةِ. Making friction, causing friction and disputes amongst people who are together and united. This is, the hadith says here, حَالِقَةِ. You see, the word halqa is actually been, it's from the word halq. Halq means to shave. Those of you who have probably gone for hajj, you know, qasr al halq. Halq is to shave the head. Here, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word halqa. It shaves your head. It shaves. Okay? He used the word halqa. Causing friction shaves. But it's not the shaves, it's really actually the word halq means to take something out from its root. And he said in another riwayah, لَا أَقُولُ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْرُ وَلَكِنْ تَحْلِقُ الدِّينِ. I am not saying and I am not implying that it removes your hair from its roots or shaves your hair or head. But what I am saying is it destroys your religion, your deen. It removes your Islam and your religion from its roots. And to the point that, you know, in the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us that in order to reconcile between two people and make peace, a person is also, it's permitted for an individual to actually lie. You know how lying, how massive and how big sin lying is. There's only a few occasions where lying is actually permitted. There's a hadith where he says, لَيْسَ الْكَذَّابُ الَّذِي يَنْمِي خَيْرًا وَيُصْلِحْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. The one who tries to reconcile between people, he is not a liar. You can lie. There's only three occasions when you can lie, according to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One occasion is between, you know, husband and wife, you know, just in order to keep that relationship healthy and happy and prosperous, you know, like you're working at busy at the office and your wife calls you and she's a bit upset because you haven't called her, and you say, you know what, I was, subhanAllah, I was just thinking about you. You were busy with all your work. But you know, I was just thinking about you. I was thinking, subhanAllah, you know, you were so nice in the morning when I left for work. Just make it up. Inshallah, you'll be rewarded for that. You'll be rewarded. This is according to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise with women as well, do the same. With relatives, with people, a bit of exaggeration in trying to make peace is actually recommended. You have two brothers who are actually fighting, do not talk to one another. You know, two brothers or two sisters, that they have quarrels, they have disputes. You go to one, you know what, I was with the other brother, subhanAllah, yesterday, he was making dua for you. He really has love for you, respect for you. He was speaking so highly of you, and he was making dua for you. And then you go to the other one and you say the same thing. It's permitted, and actually that's not even lying. Reason being, every Muslim makes a dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. Oh Allah, give us hasana, good in this world. The word used is here, آتِنَا, give us, all the Muslims. He is a Muslim, that person is a Muslim, he's made dua for him. It's not a lie. So, it's actually permitted, we should try to use these means. Now, I just want to talk about one or two causes of friction, and I know time is short, but why do we have these problems within especially family members and relatives, the causes of friction? I want to sum these causes of friction and dispute in about three or four points, and then I will conclude inshallah ta'ala. And this actually I've taken a lot from the guidance of my respected teacher. Some of you must have heard of him, Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah. Most of these points are from his teachings and from his guidance. Number one, the first cause of friction and the remedy for it is that, you know, when we do good to other people, when we are good, we don't have the right intention. As you know, Islam is based on correcting the intention. تصريح نية إنما الأعمال بالنيات. The first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab says, I heard a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Actions are according to your intention. وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. Every individual will receive and gain that which he intended. When we are good, we don't have the right intention. When we do good to people, when we give a gift, when we are gentle, when we are polite, the cause of friction is that our intention is not correct. What is that which is not correct? It is that many of us, when we actually are good to other people, we do it so that we get something in return. We wait for thank you. We want to be appreciated. We want others to show gratitude to us. That's a total wrong understanding. The correct intention is that we don't even do good to them for them. We do it for the sake of Allah. Every action a believer, every deed, every action a Muslim does, he does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should correct our intention when we are good to others, when we are good to our brothers, sisters, parents, children. When we love them, this love is not even for them, it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has ordered us, commanded us to love our family, love fellow Muslims and love humanity. Allah has ordered us. And this is the only reason we love them. When we are good to them, we do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not do it so that they appreciate it, so that they say thank you to us, so that they say jazakallahu to us. We wait for gratitude. Seriously, we should not be... You know, one of the sheikhs mentioned that I will give you greatest or the best recipe. You want to be happy in this world? Everybody wants to be happy in this world. Okay? I'm sure. Everybody want to be happy in this world? Nobody? Yes? I want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. We all want a prosperous life. The best ingredient, and listen to this carefully, the best ingredient and the best recipe for a prosperous life is, you know what? Do not expect anything from anyone. Seriously, do not expect anything from anybody. If somebody is good to you, then consider it to be a bonus, subhanAllah. Do not expect anything from anybody. If somebody is good to you, if your father is good to you, your mother is good to you, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gratitude. And you can thank them as well. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. But do not expect anything from anybody in this world. Seriously, you'll have a very good life. Because you will never be in distress. You will never feel sad. You will never be sorrow. You will never feel down. Your feelings will never be hurt. Because you never expected that person to do anything in the first place. If somebody did something good to you, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, jazakallah, mashallah, it's very good. But I didn't expect it. So this is a great way. When we give, we should do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we give somebody a gift, you know, today we have a problem. When we invite people for our wedding ceremonies and other ceremonies, we look at the list. Who called us? Yeah, he called this family. Oh, they'll think it bad. You're only calling them because they'll take it bad. You're not doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh yeah, they called us for their son's wedding, so we have to call them as well. That's wrong. We need to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we give a gift, we must take a gift because they gave it to us. This is payment time. You know, we're just paying, it's a transaction. We are not doing business here. I'm not saying every time, you know, because they gave it, it's wrong. But intention, correct it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a root for every dispute that we have. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتَ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The one who just pays back. He is good to others because people are good to him. She is good to others because others are good to her. And this person is actually not maintaining family ties. لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ. He is not the one who is maintaining family ties. In reality, in truth, الْوَاصِلُ إِذَا قُطِعَتَ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا is the one, in reality, the person who actually is maintaining ties is the one when people cut off ties with him, he maintains ties. When people cut off ties with her, she maintains ties. This is in reality the person the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. So this is the first cause. that we expect too much from people. We do things for paying them back as return. We should do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cut off all expectations from people. The dua, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to actually make a beautiful dua. He used to say, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi raja'ak waqta' raja'i amman siwak. This sums it up. Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi raja'ak. Oh Allah, place in my heart all my hopes with you and cut off my hopes from anyone else of the creation besides you. This is a dua. So we should have, our expectation should be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Lord and Creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have full trust and reliance and tawakkul. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Surah Al-Fatiha we recite many times during the day. It is only you who we worship, O Allah. And it is only you from whom we seek help and assistance. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to Abbas radiallahu anhu, Ya ghulam, O my child, O my son, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, ask from Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you seek help, then seek it from Allah. Nobody, the whole of humanity, لَوْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ اِجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. The whole humanity, in another riwayat, ins and jinn, mankind and jinn and whoever, they can all unite and gather and try to help you and assist you. But if Allah has not written for you, they will never be able to assist you. And if the whole of humanity gathers and unites and tries to inflict harm upon you, لَمْ يَضُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. They will never be able to inflict harm upon you except that which Allah has written against you. وَرُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. Anyway, moving on, the next cause or the second problem or the second reason for family disputes and friction is that many of us are very selfish and self-centered. This is one of the natures of human beings. We have forgotten the sunnah of Ithar, giving preference to other people. The Sahaba radiallahu, this is the remedy. We need to bring about this quality of Ithar, giving preference to other people, putting oneself in the shoes of the other. When you're having a fight with somebody, there's a dispute, then think for a moment, reflect and ponder. If I was in her position and she was in my position, then what? Think, always put yourself in the other person's boots. This is, you know, being selfish when we just think about only our rights, my rights. The husband thinks, my right. What does my wife owe me? And the wife is always thinking, what does my husband owe me? That's it. The father's always thinking about it. The parents always know those verses. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Shirk, you know, close to, it's like associating pardon. Those are the only verses sometimes parents know from the Quran about, you know, respecting parents. And then children, they just always know their rights. That's it. You know, parents have obligations. We are always wanting what we, you know, we are always asking and demanding for our rights, but we never think about giving other people's rights. There was this individual, you know, what he used to do was, when he used to be invited to somebody's house for food, on the door, he used to enter the door and the first question, MashaAllah, I'm very hungry, what have you cooked? What's for food? And whenever he used to invite other people to his house, he used to first question on the door, what have you bought? Any food with you? On both occasions, whether going to somebody's house, what's cooked, and when somebody's coming to his house, what have you bought with you? This is the example of the person who actually is always just wanting his rights and not wanting and willing to give the rights of other people. So we have become selfish, self-centered. What we need to do is bring in the quality of Ithar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran regarding the companions radiallahu anhum, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Even when they are extremely hungry, they give preference to other people. And you know the background, the sabab al-nuzul of this revelation was that some guests came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, anybody can entertain this individual. One of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, yes, I'll take him to my house. He went home, he asked his wife, anything for food? She said, you know what, we've got very less. Only one person can eat. He said, no problem, just bring it down on the table. And the guest sat down on the food table. And what he did was he off the lamp. It's complete darkness. And he sat down with him and he pretended he's eating, he's making noise, you know, just pretending. And the guest is thinking he's eating. But it was only him who was eating, the guest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this quality so much that he revealed a verse in the Quran talking about him. That these companions are such They give preference to other people over themselves even if they are hungry. And this giving preference, ithar, you know what the definition of ithar is? One tolerates a bit of hardship for the sake of others. Tolerating a bit of hardship, difficulty for the sake of others. أَحِبَّ لِنَفْسِ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِكَ. Like for your brother what you like for yourself. وَكْرَهْ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تَكْرَهْ لِنَفْسِكَ. Dislike for your brother what you dislike for yourself. Giving preference to other people. Tolerating a bit of hardship. It's difficult, yeah, I'll tolerate it, but it's okay. I'll overlook, I'll forgive. And the third, so this is the second cause, being selfish. The remedy is giving preference to other people. And the third cause of family disputes and friction, and this is actually taken from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Tirmidhi radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is actually very important. He says, Al-Muslimu إِذَا كَانَ يُخَالِطُ النَّاسَ وَيَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ آذَاهُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِطُ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ آذَاهُمْ. A Muslim, a believer who mixes in, interacts with people, and then he is patient on being harmed, he is much better than a believer who does not mix and interact and intermingle with people and does not have to exercise patience. What is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam trying to say here? He's trying to say here that yes, you have one person who just completely cuts himself off from society, goes and lives on the top of a mountain in a cave. Okay? Does not have to interact with anybody. Of course, he's going to be patient. You know, if a person is blind and you say, do not commit sins of the eyes, of course he's not going to commit sins of the eyes. So this person, okay, he's avoided, avoided causing harm to others. But the one who actually lives with people, and that's the reality with most people. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to imply here that look, we as human beings, we have to live with one another. We have a family. We have to live with other people. We live, parents live with children, siblings. They live, they share the same things, the same house, same things at home. We have to always interact with people at the workplace, in the shop, at the factory, when we're traveling. Wherever we are always... We always interact with people. It's a must. It's something that we have to do. Therefore, it is highly likely, and not just likely, it's more or less a certainty that at one stage you will be harmed and your feelings will be hurt. Reason being, you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of us differently. All of us. There's not two individuals in this hall right now who look the same. Any two individuals, you can stand up if you look exactly the same. They may be two twins, but not exactly the same. Since the time of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till today, until the day of judgment, no two human beings will come with the same face. SubhanAllah, you think about it, it's such an amazing, this is the qudra, power of Allah. To the point that even the fingerprints of each individual is different. Even fingerprints. Then of course their nature, their temperament, their temperament and their nature, and their feelings and their outlooks will be different. We cannot all be exactly the same. And one of the reasons why we have problems is like we want others to be exactly like us. The husband wants his wife to be 100% like he is. The way he thinks, the way he conceives things, the way he has the understanding of the world and life, he wants his wife to be exactly like him. That will never happen. Everybody is different. You have differences. Allah has created every human being different from another. So because of this, this difference in temperament, in nature, in interest, and we're living together. Hence, having differences and having a bit of problems and hurt, feelings being hurt, is completely natural and normal. It's natural, it happens, and it's happened with even the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You know, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummul Mu'mineen, our mother, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to her, said, Ya Aisha, O Aisha, you know what? You know, when you become displeased from me, I can detect that. I know. She said, how do you know that? He said, whenever you're displeased with me, then you say, وَرَبِّي إِبْرَاهِيمِ. That you, when you take an oath, you say, by the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And whenever you're happy with me, you say, وَرَبِّي Muhammad. Subhanallah. In a nice way, he said, and look at the answer, response of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, O Messenger of Allah, لا أهجر إلا اسمك. You know, when I'm displeased with you, I say, وَرَبِّي إِبْرَاهِيمِ, by the Lord of Ibrahim. But you know what? That's just on my lips. In my heart, your name never goes away. Subhanallah. Even within the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife, a bit of friction and differences, that happens. A couple want to live a life where they have no friction whatsoever, impossible. That'll be in the akhirah, in Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. But not in this world. So what do we have to do? The prescription and the remedy the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is prescribing in this hadith is that exercise patience, sabr. Sabr is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. The hadith says that adorn yourself with the attributes of Allah. It's an attribute of Allah. We need to exercise patience. Seriously, sabr is such an important attribute and quality. We need to swallow and control our anger, ghadab. Once a companion came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, أَوْصِنِي وَأَوْجِزْ. Give me advice but make it short. That's not disrespectful. You know, make it short. I just want something brief that I can remember. He said, لا تغضب. Do not become angry. We need to control our anger. Exercise patience. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The Quranic verse says that the ones who are patient, their reward is such that you cannot even consider it, بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب, without any limit placed on the reward that they will receive. We need to exercise sabr and patience. Seriously, sabr helps a human being avoid problems and disputes. Do it for the sake of Allah. Control your anger. Control the anger. And if somebody has a serious problem, then get some anger management treatment done. No, seriously, it's not a problem. We have Islamic prescriptions, but we can also الْحِكْمَةُ ضَالَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Get some anger management treatment done. Sabr, we have to work. These things don't come easily. Okay, we'll do sabr. We'll have patience, we'll exercise patience. These things do not come easily. We have to work at them. And this is why the spiritual shuyukh, they actually advise their students on these matters. We need to have a spiritual guide who will spiritually guide us and try to help us on these issues. Sabr is such an important quality. Without sabr and patience, it's actually very difficult for a human being to live in this world. And sabr in the hadith, عند صدمة الأولى, sabr is at the first instance. There was a hadith where a woman, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was advising her that to have sabr. She was at a grave and she was really losing control. And she said, you don't know what happened to me. So she went, and then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to her, and then somebody told her that, you know what, that was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And suddenly she was very remorseful. And then she went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, sorry, I didn't know you. He said, As-sabru inda sadmati al-ula. It's gone now. You've crossed the limit. It's at that time. You know, somebody just, you end up beating the brother and he's got a black eye and a blue eye and a bruised eye and this and that. And then say, yeah, I've got sabr now, alhamdulillah. Sabr is like at that moment when it's really, really difficult, but for the sake of Allah, you're just controlling your anger. You don't want to do anything. You just, for the sake of Allah, A'udhu billah, I seek protection of Allah. And the remedy is prescribed for controlling the anger. Sit down if you're standing up. Lie down if you're sitting down. Drink cold water. Say, A'udhu billah. Send blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many remedies prescribed. We need to exercise patience. Some of the scholars earlier on exercised great patience in every aspect of their lives. You know, one poet, he says, sabara sabra. And those who know Arabic, they will really appreciate this. It's difficult to translate this. Sabr, he was describing how much patience he was enduring. And he said, sabara sabra, fastaghatha bihi sabru. صابر الصبر فاستغاث به الصبر فقال الصبور يا صبر صبرا. That there was so much patience being exercised by this individual, sabra sabra, to the point and level, istaghatha bihi sabru, that patience actually sought help, that please enough now, you've used me enough. So the sabir, the sabur, the one who is really exercising patience, he said to sabra, sabr, it's your time to have sabr now and have patience. So really, this is another remedy, sabr and patience. And subhanAllah, there's so many things to say and time is, I'm going to conclude in the next 2-3 minutes. There was some other reasons as well. But one, I'll move on to the next cause and that's the final one. One of the main reasons why we have many family disputes and problems is that we do not act upon this guidance. Some people mention this to be a hadith, maybe not a hadith with a strong chain of narration, but it's definitely a correct saying. It's probably a saying of a sahabi or a companion or a tabi'i. تَعَاشَرُوا كَالْإِخْوَانِ وَتَعَامَلُوا كَالْأَجَانِبِ. Be and live and stay and remain like brothers, but transact like strangers. Meaning, we must ensure our dealings are correct. Our dealings are maintained in a correct way. And we should live with one another like brothers. Have love and harmony. But when it's the time to deal and transact, especially monetary matters, then keep records of everything. Make sure there's no ambiguity in your transactions. And this is actually one of the greatest reasons and causes for friction, family frictions and problems today. We should ensure that our dealings are clear. Many, many problems happen because of this. We find families, you know, there's a joint business in the family. What happens? The father's working in the business. One son, he grows up, he's joined in the business as well. What capacity is he working in? Is he helping voluntarily? Is he helping the family business? Is he just helping the father as a volunteer? Nothing clarified. Is he a partner? Is he a sharik? Does he have a percentage in the business? Or is he employed and will he receive his wages and salary? Nothing's clarified. One son comes, no problem. We tell them sometimes that, look, you know what, you need to clarify everything. See, you know what, how can you even think of talking about these issues? We're family, we're brothers, we have love for one another. But then when after about 5, 10, 15 years, when the second brother comes as well, and he's also joined the business, and the third one, and the father dies, or when one of them gets married, and then when one brother takes more money out from the business than the other one, that's when all the love goes away. And then they start fighting, quarreling, arguing to the point that people are at each other's throats. So make it clear from the beginning. Everything should be clear cut. تَعَاشَرُوا كَالْإِخْوَانِ. Live like brothers. From the heart you should have love. But when you deal, when you transact, make sure you're like strangers. It's like when you deal everything, this is how much this person owns. Make sure milkiya, ownership should be determined within family members. Who owns what and how much? This should be totally clearly without any ambiguity. It should be clarified. And inheritance as well. You know, the ulama always mention, and this is the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Straight away after the deceased leaves this world, divide the shares, divide the estate, distribute inheritance. Sometimes when people are informed of this, they say, you know what, the person's just gone to his grave and we're talking about money. It's not about brother, sister, it's not talking about money. It's talking about avoiding friction after 2 years, 3 years. People don't divide, don't distribute the estate until 10, 15, 20 years pass by. And then there are such problems in the family that there's no turning back after that. These are issues, money, money issues. Money creates problems, unfortunately. But Islam tells us that be very clear cut. Be very, very clear cut. Straight after the person's decease, make sure you divide the shares of inheritance. There was one sheikh who was passing away. He was on his deathbed and a lot of the other of shuyukh and his teachers, and they all actually went to see him. And they were all, you know, he was on his bed lying. And they were all sitting there. And he passed away, you know, he said the shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He passed away and his soul left his body. The moment his soul left his body, one of his students, there was a light lamp on there, he off the lamp. Everybody in total darkness. Some people said, what's happening? He said, you know what, until this sheikh was alive, this individual was alive in this world, this lamp belonged to him. The moment he left this world, this lamp no longer belongs to him. It belongs to all his inheritors and his family members. Until we do not go and seek permission from every single individual that can we use this lamp, it is haram and unlawful for us to use this lamp. This is the reality. This is how we should be. We should be very, very concerned about monetary matters, about not even consuming unlawfully even a dollar of a fellow human being. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not consume your wealth unlawfully. So make dealings clear. Okay, not making dealings clear and not fixing things is a cause of friction. And the remedy is clear dealings. Whatever the scenario, whatever the case, make sure everything is clear cut within the family. And there's one last cause which is, I don't think I need to go into the details of it, but it's just not making sure and avoiding ridiculing other people and offending other people. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, لَا تُمَارِ أَخَاكَ وَلَا تُمَازِحُ. Do not ridicule your fellow Muslim brother. Do not mock him. Sometimes it's in a light-hearted way. You know the person will not be offended, then fine. But you know your limits. Sometimes we do it so that we shame the person. He becomes a laughing stock and everybody laughs at him. And we take pleasure out of ridiculing other people. Seriously, this is a big sin. And it's haram and we need to avoid that. And Surah Al-Hujurat as well, there are verses regarding that. And finally, I want to end on this, is that we need to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from all the people. Some of you might think that, okay, these are all things we need to be, how do we deal with this? What we do is we go and seek those people who we know we have hurt their feelings. Those people that we know that we've done something, we've wronged them, we've hurt their feelings, we've harmed them. Please, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today, if you can, and if you go back home then on Monday or Tuesday, or if you can just phone them, seek forgiveness from them. It is easy and it is better. Rather seek forgiveness in this world rather than pay for it with our a'mal and our deeds in the akhirah. Seek forgiveness from them. This is حقوق العباد. حقوق العباد مقدم على حقوق الله. The rights of the servants of Allah have been given more importance and more significance, and they have been preferred than and over and above the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek their forgiveness. Those people that you know that you've hurt them, you've wronged them, you've hurt their feelings, then seek forgiveness. And those who you owe money, you owe a debt or you owe money, then pay it back. You have to pay it back unless they forgive you. If they don't forgive it, then you can't just seek forgiveness. You have to pay it back to them as well. And those people who you don't know, there are many occasions we may have hurt people's feelings. We may be traveling, we may be in the plane, we may be in the train, we may be in the car. We may have hurt people's feelings. We don't remember how many people's feelings we've hurt. The way to overcome that is make dua for all of those people. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua. He said, أَيُّمَا مُؤْمِنْ أَذَيْتُهُ أَوْ شَتَمْتُهُ أَوْ جَلَتُهُ أَوْ لَعَنْتُهُ فَجْعَلْهَا لَهُ صَلَاةً وَزَكَاةً وَقُرْبَةً تُقَرِّبُهُ بِهَا إِلَيْكَ. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any believer whom I may have hurt, or I may have said something in a wrong way, or I may have cursed, then oh Allah, make all of that for him as prayer, as zakat, as qurba, as good deed through which he becomes close to you. Make dua for them inshallah. So this is the remedy, and this is the way to have a good life in this world inshallah, and in the akhirah. I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the tawfiq to practice on what I mentioned inshallah. Give me first of all the ability, the speaker more than you, and then you as well inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.